Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. We are going to talk about sort of the favorites in the National Football League. We've got a long way until the playoffs and the Super Bowl, but we have two regular season games now to draw some very early conclusions, and I'm going to shine a light on five teams that appear to be the teams to beat, much like we have three teams in college football, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. In my opinion, there are five in the National Football League, and there probably is another team or two out there that could beat them and get in that group or replace one in that group. We'll talk about them too. Give me a minute to talk about Bill Curry Ford. Saw Sean Sullivan at the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Draft. Sean has been writing $1,000 checks to the winners of Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Leagues for years now, and he's doing it again this year. Sean also would like to put you in a new vehicle, and he'd like to talk to you personally about it because you listen to me. You're a football fan, and he'd like to know that. So when you go to the dealership, you ask for Sean Sullivan. Now, that might not be the easiest thing to do, but you are a potential customer, and they're not going to blow you off. So if you can't get to Sean Sullivan, you just say, well, then I need to speak to Grace Thomas. And then you tell Grace you are a listener of mine, and Grace will get you time with Sean Sullivan. It might not be that moment. It might not even be that day, but she'll get it done because that's what Grace does. Ask Sean. Bill Curry Ford can get you in a new Ford vehicle, a pre-owned Ford vehicle, as they did with me 10 months ago when I traded in my 2014 Ford Focus. And yes, they'll do a trade with you. Or they'll get you in a pre-owned vehicle of a make and model that is not necessarily a Ford. They have inventory on the lot. Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry in Tampa, ask for Sean Sullivan. If you can't get to Sean Sullivan, ask for Grace Thomas. Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming Todd Wright Tour 38. Yep, it'll be our 38th golf tournament in a span of 7 years. What the heck have I done? Wow. Brandon Legal Group has been one of my biggest supporters, and they are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. If you have a legal need, for example, with family law, divorce, post-judgment, child support adjustment, Brandon Legal Group would be happy to offer you a free consult. They will offer you that free consult not just in those four categories, but whatever your legal issue is. 844-4BLG-4ME or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter at ToddWright2121. And Instagram at ToddWright2121. So I think there are five teams that are kind of the five. Yeah, when you look at college football, there are three as we started the season, and nothing has changed. The three being Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. And the playoff is four. Right now, the expectation is all three of them will get in. Who's the fourth? Now, one of them could suffer a big injury, have a bad loss or two, drop out. Okay, that can all happen. So in college, it's three that appear to be the teams to beat. In the NFL, I think it's five. The five being in no particular order: Buffalo, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, LA Rams, San Francisco 49ers. Now let me talk about each of those. If you don't think Buffalo is one of the teams to beat, you either hate the Bills for some biased reason, or you have been very busy watching the Game of Thrones sequel for the last couple of weeks and not paying attention to anything going on in the NFL. Those are my only explanations. The Bills look phenomenal. They can't keep doing this every week. But when Vegas makes you a double-digit favorite in week two against Tennessee, and I'll talk about Tennessee's issues. Vegas might have been out in front of that too. And the Bills cover that like it was an insult. It just shows, and the Bills were down their number two wide receiver. It just shows what's going on with the Bills. So, yeah, it's Buffalo. And, yeah, it's still Kansas City. The Chiefs didn't look great in the Week 2 Thursday night game on Amazon against the Chargers, but they get it done. It's Andy Reid. It's Patrick Mahomes. They get it done. Last 4 years, Chiefs have been in the AFC Championship game, in a Super Bowl and won it, in a Super Bowl and lost it, and in an AFC Championship game. By the way, both of those AFC Championship games that they lost were on their home field. So 4 years they've been in the Final Four. All four with Andy Reid, all four with Patrick Mahomes. It's reasonable to expect that's the floor for the Chiefs, that they'll be back in the AFC Championship game. And unless you're a fan of one of the other AFC teams or have money on one of the other AFC teams, based on what we saw from the Bills-Chiefs last year in the divisional round, why wouldn't you want to watch a rematch and the winner goes to the Super Bowl? And hopefully it's not an overtime coin flip that determines who wins the game. The Chiefs do not have Tyreek Hill anymore, and it doesn't appear that they've replaced him. They brought in Juju Smith-Schuster not to replace Tyreek Hill, but give them a receiver with some credentials and experience, and through two games, he looks like all the other receivers who were just options, secondary, tertiary options for Patrick Mahomes last year when Kelce and Hill weren't having their number called. Disappointing start there. One more thing on the Bills. Von Miller may have known what he was doing. You know, Von Miller got that trade to the Rams from Denver, helped the Rams win a Super Bowl, goes to the Bills, makes an immediate impact. So those are the two in the AFC. Just let me make other general AFC comments. I mean, I'm trying to find another team that through two games really stands out to me that could challenge those two, and I don't see one. There will be one, but for various reasons, I don't see one. The Titans are an interesting situation all of a sudden. You know, they've been a winning team consistently under Mike Vrabel, who got a contract extension in the offseason. And the Titans have gone out in their first two games and sucked. Sucked. They blew a 2-touchdown lead at home in the opener against the New York Giants because they couldn't defend Saquon Barkley. And did nothing in the passing game. A couple of flips to Dontrell Hilliard. That's it. Couldn't build on a 13-0 lead. And then in week two, as aforementioned, just run out of the building by the Buffalo Bills. In the last 3 years, the Titans have gone from losing the AFC title game to losing the AFC divisional round to losing the AFC wild card. They have lost three playoff games in a row. I'm not suggesting the window is closing, but that's telling. You lose three playoff games in a row, and you've gone from where you lost that AFC championship game to the Chiefs, where you were in that game. And people came away from it saying, you know, did the Chiefs, went on to win the Super Bowl that year. Yeah, they did. Coming away saying, wow, you know, the Titans were right there. It's not right there anymore. They've lost their first playoff game the last 2 years, looked bad in both. Disappointing losses. the offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator of that team that competed with the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game are both in Atlanta now. Arthur Smith left to become the head coach of the Falcons. And then, interestingly, a year later, Vrabel's defensive coordinator retired. And then a year later shows up with Arthur Smith in Atlanta. The new OC and the new DC may be an issue. And Vrabel's already saying, no staff changes. Well, Mike, you might not have a choice, even with your extension, because you've got basically 5 winnable games coming up over the next 6 weeks. There's a bye in there, too. You don't win a big share of those. I got a feeling management's going to say to you, you need to change one. It's tough to change both coordinators in season, but pick one. I mean, as bad as Tennessee has looked in the passing game, and I don't think Malik Willis is ready yet, it feels like he needs time before he could come in and be ready to play in the National Football League. But from a defensive coordinator standpoint, you literally let one player beat you outside of the quarterback position. Saquon Barkley was that one player. You're up 13-0 and a running back beats you? How'd that happen? That's bad defense. Lack of attention to detail. Inability to focus on a primary threat. And week 2, without Gabe Davis, you can't cover Stephon Diggs. I know Josh Allen is good. You can't cover Stephon Diggs when Gabe Davis isn't even out there and the Bills have no discernible running back running the ball. That's also a bad defensive game plan. No defensive adjustments. So I'd say keep an eye on the Tennessee situation. Again, they've got 5 winnable games coming up in the next 6 weeks. They don't win at least 4 of those, there could be some issues for Mike Vrabel. If they get embarrassed that next game after those 5 on national TV at Kansas City, and suddenly Mike Vrabel goes from a very stable head coach who has taken his team to the playoffs for 3 years to a head coach who has lost his last 3 playoff games, doesn't have the right people as coordinators, and has trended downward and out the door. Also, it sounds outlandish after 2 weeks, but take a look at it yourself. Could the Jaguars win the AFC South? Through 2 games, they look competent. Funny what hiring a Super Bowl winning head coach does after you fire a douchebag like Urban Meyer with no NFL experience. I mean, we just talked about the Titans. I still think the Colts are going to get their act together. I don't think the Colts are as bad as they've looked through 2 weeks. And the Texans are coached by loser Lovie Smith, so they're no factor. In the NFC, the 3 teams I talked about, hear me out, in no particular order, Tampa Bay, the Rams, and the 49ers. And I mentioned the 49ers. 2 of the last 3 years have been in the Final 4. And Jimmy Garoppolo is back under center. And you should look at the Niners the same way you have looked at previous teams under Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo has his limitations, but Garoppolo does a number of very good things, and he's a steady player under center. Someone that Kyle Shanahan can work with. I'm sure Kyle Shanahan wishes that Jimmy Garoppolo had wheels, that Jimmy Garoppolo had a rocket for an arm and could throw it 60 yards downfield. He doesn't. But Jimmy Garoppolo's got a good head on his shoulders. You give him a clean pocket. He goes through his progressions. He can make the reads. Rams, yeah, got blown out week one by Buffalo. Join the club. There are going to be a lot of teams who do that. And, you know, keep in mind, Rams were one of these teams. Most of their starters on offense didn't play at all in the preseason. Right or wrong. Kind of tough to get settled. You know, they hung in there in the first half. And then the Bills got them quick in the second half. Rams corrected a lot of those offensive issues in week two with Cam Akers and Allen Robinson. They do miss Odell Beckham. They do. And I'm not a fan of Odell Beckham, but yeah, it looks like they miss him. And they certainly want him back if he wants to come back. From the Buccaneers standpoint, defensively, they look really good. I mean, they don't look Buffalo good, but they look really good through 2 weeks. And that's why Todd Bowles was promoted. And Todd Bowles is still calling the defensive plays. Maybe because there's so many mixed messages out of the Bucs. You know, Bowles said, well, I learned from my mistakes, you know, in New York. And then in the next breath, well, because of when I was promoted to head coach, I didn't have time to hire a defensive coordinator. Okay, which one is it? Did you learn from your mistakes in New York, and that's why you're calling the defensive plays as a head coach? Or is it the timing of when you were promoted to head coach with the Arians thing, and you didn't have time to find one? Because they conflict. What is it? I have a feeling the truth is somewhere in the middle. But offensively, now this could also be a lack of guys working together. And we know Brady was gone for a couple of weeks in camp. And they're the oldest team in the NFL. And now they add another old guy in Cole Beasley. At some point, do they add another old guy in Julian Edelman and another old guy in Rob Gronkowski? It's going okay now. I think if this starts to crack, it's going to go bad fast. My concern also is there's kind of this arrogance about the Buccaneers right now. You have three guys in that organization who feel they can do whatever the fuck they want. And the Saints game was kind of proof of that with one of them, with the Arian shit. And the narrative from the Bucs side that, well, the Saints didn't give Arians a place to be. No, they did. He had three options, including a sideline option. I don't know why that became a story. You don't talk to other teams' players. You don't. So Arians thinks he can do whatever he wants, even though he's not the head coach. But I've always heard when he came here, he kind of had final say on the roster, even over Jason Light. So Arians thinks he can do whatever he wants. Light obviously thinks he can do whatever he wants because the Glazers tell him that. That's why he's still here. If Light wants something, the Glazers let him do it. And then more than anyone else, Tom Brady gets whatever the hell he wants. If Tom Brady wants 2 days off a week, he could have it. If Tom Brady wants to take a game off this year, the Bucs will spin it some way. God bless Nelson Lewis and what he's dealing with in media relations over there. So you got three guys in the Bucs organization who get whatever they want. None of them are the head coach. I think that's a problem. What happens when Todd Bowles really wants something? Does he get whatever he wants? Or does Brady say no? Or Light say no? Or Arians say no? You're the freaking head coach. You should get whatever you want. I think that could be a problem. Also, without Ndamukong Suh, I think we see the good Aaron Rodgers this week against the Bucs, which you haven't the last couple years. I think Rodgers fears Sue. Sue got in his head a long time ago, and it's still there. And Sue is not going to be on that field against the Packers on Sunday. And talked about the Rams. I touched on them. Rams, Niners, and Buccaneers. The Eagles could be a factor here. And I've said that since before they won their first two games. Here's my concern on the Eagles. Why are you letting the Lions and Vikings hang around in these games? Why aren't you doing what Buffalo did in the second half? Yeah, they let the Rams hang around. But the Eagles did. They let the Lions hang around. There was no reason the Vikings were still in that game. The Eagles were turning it over. The Vikings had scoring. Darius Slay was phenomenal in how he played in that game. But that just shows you the Eagles may not be there yet. They did well last year. They finished strong. They made the playoffs. Granted, the Bucs beat them soundly in the playoffs, like a lot of their additions in the offseason. And if you listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, you know what I think of Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I think the Eagles are a playoff team. I'm not ready to say they're a Super Bowl contender. Things would have to, they have to continue to improve, and some things have to go wrong with the Bucs and with the Rams and with the Niners to open that door for the Eagles. And for those of you saying, well, what about the Packers? Aaron Rodgers is 7-9 in postseason games since winning Super Bowl 45. 7-9. I will not say the Packers are a Super Bowl contender until I actually see Aaron Rodgers get back to a Super Bowl, because he's the common denominator in why they haven't. He's run coaches off. He doesn't have Devontae Adams now. Aaron Rodgers, 7-9 in the postseason since winning Super Bowl 45, without a Super Bowl appearance since then. So no, I don't think the Packers are a Super Bowl contender. I would take the Eagles right now. If you asked me, if you said, here are two teams, you can have one to make the Super Bowl, the Eagles or the Packers, I'll take the Eagles. And I just laid out all the reasons. Nothing else in the NFC really gets me excited right now. I think it's a lot of eh. And yeah, a handful of bad teams. Seahawks are a bad team. Falcons are a bad team. Carolina's a bad team. Chicago's a bad team. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group. Email is wright.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.